Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Seasons of Purpose Radio Blogcast. Praise God, we are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. We thank God for you tuning in this evening. We thank God for you taking the time out of your day to join with us in a time of study in the all-powerful and all-sustaining Word of God. We're going to go ahead and usher in the presence of the Lord with a song, and then we will be right back with our studio audience. We want to ask the question, do you know who you are in the Lord? Do you know who you are in the Lord? Well, Sinatra is going to bring to you one of her hit songs, one of her top praise songs, praise the Lord, I Know Who I Am. Listen and be blessed.
I know who I am.
CEO, founder, man of God, hallelujah, of Grace and Truth Leadership. Yeah. And Pastor Baker, if you will go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad, press 1 on your dial pad, praise the Lord, and we will dispatch you into the studio, hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can hear you loudly and clear. Go right ahead.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you so much for having me and for this amazing invitation for me to come and to share with the amazing community that you serve with and that you share with and that you lead with. So I thank you. And as you said, your beloved husband, and that resonated with me. And I think I admire both of you. And I promise you that as I continue to grow in the Lord, I'm going to make sure that I get my marriage on the same page like your marriage. And so I admire you with your marriage and what God is doing through both of you. I call you the dynamic duo. And to God be the glory for great people, not only leaders, but I think one of the things that really stands out with me is the human beings that you are. You are such kind, warm, and special, not pompous, not arrogant, not distant, not dissonance, but leaders that are affable and reachable and connectable to the people. And I think that is that's amazing. So I wanted to say that on your behalf and to all of your covenant partners and the leaders that are there, we salute you in the name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And I am certainly declaring that, and I'm setting that in the atmosphere already. And so I thank you once again for this time. I'd like to just share a few things that I think that the Lord has commiserate to this time. And for those that are here on the line, you are not here by accident. And when I heard the song, Do You Know Who You Are, I knew I was in the right place, because that's actually what the title of my message is going to be, Do You Know Who You Are? And so I knew that this was destiny unfolding for all of us. So I think that we should be prepare for what the Lord has to say. So I'm going to be looking, if you don't mind, if you have your Bibles or, you know, we're going to be looking at Matthew, the 8th chapter, and verses 23 through 27, familiar passage of scripture, and I want to be able to share that with you. So thank you, Pastor Jasper, for praying so I don't have to pray this time. Thank you for setting me up. And your prayer, I feel, making way for me even right now. So I want to read this passage of scripture. It's from the Synoptic Gospel and Matthew. This same account, this narrative, this pericope is also found in the Gospel of Mark, Luke. And so we'll take a look at it. It's found in Luke, the 8th chapter. It's also found in Mark, the 4th chapter. But I'm going to read it from Matthew, because Matthew is the one who declares that Jesus is King, right? Matthew is the one that, like no other, is making sure that we know that we need a King to follow. And in a world that we're living in as people, we need to know who we are and whose we are and who we belong to. And we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ, and he is our King. A King, the reason why a King, because a King is one that we follow. I wish I had time. Is one that we follow, you see. So they had kings in the Old Testament, and when Jesus came, that's one of the reasons why they had made it. He disrupted so much when he came, because they were calling him King, and at that time politically they didn't want any other person or any other entity to be King. And that's some of the disturbance and the uprising that he caused when he came, by him saying and being King. You know, that's one of the reasons why they had to execute him. But we know that they didn't execute him. We know that no one took his life, but he laid down his life for you and I. So I want to read this passage with you right quickly, and then we'll get right to the matter at hand. Do you know who you are and some of the lessons, some leadership lessons that we can learn from the unexpected storms, right? Some leadership lessons that we can learn from unexpected storms. Do you know who you are? Right, so let me read this with you. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and so whatever version you have is fine, but I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus kept sleeping, so the disciples came and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to die." He said to them, verse 26, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 7, and the conclusion to this matter, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." May God's word be blessed for God's people. Thanks be to God. So unexpected leadership, unexpected lessons that we get from this unexpected storm. I think while we're in this post-pandemic time, our world is still, even a year ago, still experiencing some of the chaos, some of the residual of the chaos and the uncertainty. At times, yet still of protesting, and rightfully so, we still see and dealing with the vestige of this past year and these ongoing years of many sisters and brothers in the black community being killed and murdered even by the police. So I say all that to say we're facing a new normal. And many times, I think many of us in God's kingdom and the church are looking for things to go back to normal, but I've come to bring you some maybe upsetting news, but maybe some enlightening news. We're not going back to normal, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. We will be going, it's going to always be from here on a new normal. So with that being said, whatever time that we're living in, one thing I am clear on after reading this text and clear on about God in this hour is that we still need a word from the Lord. We still need a word from the Lord. And for you, those of you that are leaders, I want to share with you this, and those that are emerging leaders, I want to share this with you, that there are three types of people. Those that make things happen, that's what leaders do. We make things happen. And then there are those that watch things happen. And then there are those that don't even know that something's happening at all. And I want you to know that God has called me and you on assignment. And it is imperative in this hour that we know who we are and whose we are. So it has been said that when we are born, right, we look like our parents. But when we die, we look like our decisions. So let's be real. You know, here's the challenge. God may not bring us out the way he has in times past, but one thing I want you to know on tonight, things will not return to the way they used to be. But here's the good news. But God is going to bring us out. And right there is a good time, if you want to, just to say thank God. Things have changed. And we understand, according to Ecclesiastes, that change is inevitable. And I'd like to suggest to you that the idea of change is not just for the sake of change, but change is not just for change's sake, but change is always going to be for the better. So as a change agent, as a person on assignment with God, part of our learning and some of the things that we need to learn is that any time that we embrace change, it's never just for change, for the sake of change, but it's always going to be for the better. Although so much of what we see and what we are experiencing in this hour, we do not understand. But I can assure you by the power vested in me, that somewhere in the midst of all of this, we're going to see, and we are seeing right now, the sovereignty of God on display. There's a theological word. It's called a theodicy. And theodicy means that even though evil exists, God is going to have the final say. We're still going to see the hand of God permeate through whatever evil that we experience, whatever is wrong, whatever is not according, because we are guaranteed that God has a plan. So although we are in this time, I want to go to the text and share some of this with you. Jesus is showing us and teaching us in this narrative, in this pericope, right, how to manage the storm. So the storm, right, even just like the storm of this post-pandemic, and this time is unpredictable and unprecedented. Here is what we know through the example of Jesus, that the storm is going to come to an end. I need you to get that in your spirit. The storm is going to come to an end. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know exactly when he's going to do it. But one thing I can guarantee you on this line, that whichever way he decides to do it, whatever process that he goes about setting things in order and right, it's going to be the right time, and we need to hold on to that. At some point, we must understand that God will not allow us to be in any situation without some point of closure. At some point, the doctor's report is going to turn around. At some point, your financial situation is going to turn around. At some point, that relationship situation is going to turn around. At some point, that family matter is going to turn around. At some point, your marriage is going to turn around. Whatever it is, I want you to know, according in this text, it makes clear to us for our learning, it's going to end. So be encouraged at this point in the storm. The storm teaches us a lesson that every storm, that's one point I just want to make, every storm has an end. We have to learn this lesson in the storm, because every lesson is to mature you and to develop you and for the assignment that's been given to you for the future. And remember, God said, I have plans for you. Plans of good, Jeremiah 29:11. Plans of a future, hope and a future and an expected end, which means that the storm isn't necessarily happening to me alone as a victim, but the storm is actually working for me as a victor. And something in the storm is necessary for God to take me and to place me where he needs me to be in his process and in my developmental stage. Notice here the order of entry. Verse 23, I'm going to read it for you here. And it says, notice there's a major detail here. It says, and he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. They start out speaking to Jesus, and we see first indicating that Jesus was the agreed-upon authoritative source. This is the season. You need to make sure. I don't know about any other time in your life, and even if you have in times past, but you need to make the declaration now that Jesus is going to have to be first. Now more than ever, you're going to have to, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, for he will direct your path. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In this time, we must understand more now than ever, even though it might not feel like it. But when we belong to God, when we know who we are in God, we are seated, according to Ephesians 2:6, in heavenly places. If you enter the storm before the Lord, if you enter the storm without putting God first, you may not make it out, right? You might not make it out. You might not make it to the other side. We learn the conclusions that are godly requires allowing God to enter and to be first in your life. You cannot make God second. You cannot make God second at this time. One of my mentors and he's passed away. We never met each other, but I've read so much of his material, and I wanted to tell you that just because you didn't meet somebody, that don't mean that they can't mentor you. His name is Warren Wiersbe, and he said one of the wonderful things about the Christian life is the knowledge that God has a plan for our lives. I feel excited just to know that, because that gives me some sense of comfort to know that God has a plan for my. This is a place, right, where we're entering the storm before Jesus. You know, if we have made that a consequential, a choice that we're going to make, that's why I talked about decisions earlier, we may not survive the storm, but he's going to. So new normals are going to require new ways of doing things. New normals are only survived by proper ordering. In fact, you may not survive the old order or ways if you are doing things the old way. But now it's a new order. It was like when John the Baptist was here. And when Jesus came, that ushered in a new order. And this is the same kind of situation. So the order of things is very important. So the order begins with Jesus. And Jesus must be front and center in your choices, in your decisions, in how you go about things. If you decide that you're going to get married, you got to consult God. If you decide that you're going to buy a house, you want to consult God. If you decide that you want to get a car, you want to kind of run this through God and put God first, whatever. If you're getting in relationship with people, you want to put it before the Lord. The order demands that we follow him. And the songwriter said, and where he leads, I will follow. That's something I used to like that song when I was coming up. And by the way, and he knows where to lead me. In fact, Job said he knows the way, Job 23, and he knows the way that I take. And when I come forth, I shall come forth as pure gold. Let's look at verse 24 and 25. Suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but Jesus kept sleeping. So the disciples came and woke him up saying, Lord, save us. We're going to die. This comes in the opposite reaction. This learning lesson comes in the opposite reaction of the disciples. I call this the paradox. The storm gives us a glimpse of who we are. Look at the disciples. We then can now understand that the storm is teaching us more than weather conditions, more than what's going on around us, but now the storm is revealing what's going on inside of us by showing the disciples that they were not who they thought they were or who they should be and who they had, what they needed to be in God in order to be the people that God was causing. And I believe down in the city of my soul that that's one of the reasons why the storm came. The storm came because it was time for them to learn. It's always time for us to learn. And if you're a leader, you know, you must always know you need to be a learner. Many times as leader, we get to a place where we stop growing and we stop realizing the need to grow. But we always have to be front and center on the growing side. We've got to grow even more than the people that are assigned to us and the people that we serve. We have to be the first partakers in growing. The storm lets us know this. The storm lets us see our condition. And also the storm lets us know it's important who we are hanging out with. That if we're hanging out with immature people, if we're hanging out with underdeveloped people, if we're hanging out with people that are not in fulfillment of their assignment, these things will complicate our lives. These things will cause us to not operate in our destiny the way God intended for us. So sleep in this text means resting. He's in a storm, but look how he responds differently than how the disciples. And this shows us how we are to respond in the storm, that when we know who we are blessed with faith. When we know who we are, we learn that our life is not necessarily in our hands, but it's in the hands of the one who calms the storm and the raging sea, so we can be confident at whatever stage we are in our lives. And I want you to hear me on this line, my sisters and my brothers. that though the Lord, it may seem as that we are being slayed, I'm going to tell you, yet shall we trust him. Even though weapons are formed against us, in Isaiah 54 and 17, we have to know, we have to believe, no matter how it looks, that they will not prosper. So I want you to be assured that this is very important, that we are, when we know who we are, we handle storms by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not found. And he is a rewarder that of those who diligently seek him. Listen to this. Look at verse 26. Continue on. I want you, he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Order by which Jesus make corrections. Pay attention to that. The order by which Jesus makes corrections to offer warning of caution, to present something from, to prevent something from going wrong. First, Jesus addresses the disciples. Notice that. First, he addresses the disciples. Then he addresses the storm. Jesus teaches how to make it through storms. Jesus shows the disciples that he is still in charge. Jesus shows the disciples that he can still be trusted. Jesus shows the disciples that he said, let's go to the other side, and nothing was going to stop them from going to the other side. Jesus shows them that although there may be some obstacles, Jesus shows them that although there may be some impediments, Jesus shows them that although there may be some obstructions, that there might be some pain and some hurt and some fear, just like many of us are dealing with, despite the pain, the hurt, the killing, the pandemic, we are going to make it to the other side, and God is still in charge. This is the synopsis of it all. Joseph experienced this thing after he comes and he's declaring that he is the gifted one, and we see him with this coat, and then we see his brothers set out to kill him. But we see one brother, we see Simeon set out to kill him, and then we see Reuben say, don't kill him. And what we get a glimpse of in that is that whatever process that we're in, whatever process that God allows us to go through, that it's a process, although it might get ugly, although it might get painful, or although it might not be the way we want, but he protects us. Hallelujah. I'm excited already, y'all. He protects us in our process. We see the same thing with Moses. We see whatever Moses was dealing with. Moses kills a man. We see Moses then go in, he's with Egypt for 40 years, and then he's a shepherd for 40 years, 80 years of preparation and process, and then he leads. You must understand that we're always going to be in a rigorous process. It is time out for us to think that we're going to go to the other side or where God wants us to go without any challenge, without any struggle. But I want you to know that the suffering of this present time will not be compared to the glory. We see this with Esther, and she declares, and that's what we have to declare, that if I perish, let me perish, but I'm going to see the king. We understand that outcomes that result from a storm is that Jesus is not only saving himself, but he's saving his followers. No matter how crazy the storm is, Jesus got me. Oh, God, I'm ready to shout right now. No matter how crazy life gets, I want you to declare with yourself, and you heard it tonight, the Lord got me. In fact, he's got angels encamped around me. Hallelujah. The Lord has not let you go through this storm all by yourself. And don't worry about what you're going through. It's more important for you to understand what you're going to. Don't allow it to break you before God gives you the breakthrough that he promised for your life. There's always going to be a challenge for you. The Lord has always been there in every challenge of your life. If you take a look back, and you've got to understand, even as we're here in this stage in our journeys, that God is going to see us through, that God is not only going to protect us, but he's going to speak to us in our storm. He's going to lead us in our storm, and he's going to see us get through the other side. And I want you to understand that as I've come to you today, to understand that no matter where we are in this journey, And we see this. Such is the case with the disciples. When this mighty, when a mighty storm rolled out and started knocking them about in their boat. And you can imagine how they got shaken. But Jesus proceeded to supernaturally calm the storm. But what he said to the disciples should cut all of us to the quick. Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? The disciples were afraid because they saw the storm instead of seeing the God of the storm. There is a bridge that God has constructed for everyone in the church today to move us from natural to supernatural, to move us from normal to right to uncommon, to move us from ordinary to extraordinary. In order to move away from our storms and toward the one who calms the storm, we need to cross that bridge. And that bridge is called faith. Faith is the only bridge that will allow you to travel beyond this world and all of its problems. It's the only way for you to see things in the spiritual way. Faith is acting like God is telling you the truth, even when you don't see that it's lining up with what he's telling you. And when you start acting in faith, it's like crossing a bridge and starting to see things you've never seen before. The other thing that's amazing about this passage, and I bring it to a close, was that God was showing them to not focus so much on their problem, but to focus on their solutions. And I want to make this last bid to you, sisters and brothers, that many of us are dealing with problems. There are problems surrounding us, but that's what we are. And many times our focus in God is always, it's more about the salvation of God. And I'm saying to you that that has its significance, but there's another side of God, and that's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is where we are in our workplaces. The kingdom of God is where we are in our culture. The kingdom of God is what's going on this line, on this blog, that we're hopefully able to reach people that we would not ordinarily reach. That there is an opportunity here for us to show people amidst their problems that Jesus is the way, and that we're able to show them practical ways through faith, through connecting with the Lord, that they can get through whatever that they're going through. Importantly, though, you must cross over the faith bridge if you ever hope to tap into the supernatural in your life. Faith requires action. It's not enough to merely say you believe something. It's not enough, for instance, to say that we believe God heals people and never pray for anybody to get well. Neither is it enough to believe that God has a job for you in the new year or in this year where we are, while you sit and wait for something to happen. As leaders, we go and make things happen. We don't watch things happen. Lacking in faith is like being paralyzed. And not only paralysis in physical, you might be paralyzed by an addiction or depression, maybe bad relationships, as you feeling stuck or even in depression. Whatever your particular paralysis might be, it's time to make a faith journey and to make it your intention and to experience the supernatural power of God in your life. The same Jesus who calmed that storm has the power to break your chains. The same word that calmed the seas can set you and me free. Cross the bridge. It's time to start living out our faith and know who we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God, praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. We thank God for Pastor James Baker and that, oh, powerful word. Do you know who you are? When you know who you are, first and foremost, I must say, that even as we started the program, the presence of the Holy Spirit told me to play "I Know Who You Are" by Sinat. And so when he confirmed, hallelujah, that that was the word for tonight, oh, how my soul just leaped, because I knew, oh my God, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that what was forthcoming was a powerful, mighty move of God and an anointed word, that if you just take this word and stuff on it, how it will be life-changing. Yes. Hallelujah. Life-changing word, because many of us right now are going through and still dealing with, as Pastor Baker shared with us, various storms. But, oh, God is a God of order. And as long as the man of God shared with us tonight, as long as we put Jesus first in this new normal, we must keep Jesus first. Keep him first. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I just give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for this word tonight. I have nearly 2 pages of notes here. So praise God. God for the man of God, and thank God for the word that he has shared. We're not going to prolong our comments, because I know that the listening audience would like to be able to share and chime in on this word. So, Pastor Day, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
We praise God.
Hallelujah.
For the man of God, Pastor Baker, bring forth that powerful word we need at this very hour, amen, for such a time as this, amen.
Amen.
Praise God for the man of God. May he truly expound greatly on the word of God, amen, for food to our soul and our spirit.
Yes.
Amen. It's just a blessing to know that you can trust God. God came on the king on the stone, praise God. And our stone that God cannot handle.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He's not a stone he cannot defeat in our life, praise God.
Yes.
We learn to trust in him and learn to be I call it a fake bread builder, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, the word of God in our life, no matter what circumstances come about, God got an answer for it. Amen. We had the victory in him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank God for that powerful word. We need to keep our eyes focused on him. There was Peter learned to do. The disciples learned to keep their eyes focused on Christ.
Amen.
When Christ said, if Christ can't come aboard there and walk on the sea, he said, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, when he had a lot of focus on Christ, he took an eye off Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He began to sink.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus allowed him to get close enough. He can reach our hand and pick him right back up.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
We thank God for that powerful word from the man of God. And we need that on this hour for such a time as this.
Yes.
The new normal, praise God. Amen.
That's
now, going back to the old normal,
uh-uh.
Go back to the new normal, God's new order for us. Amen.
Yes.
His new order in
mm-hmm.
Christ Jesus. Amen. He's God first in your life.
In it all.
Through it all. Amen.
He's
been first in our life, praise God.
All.
He has found on that word naturally, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Good word. Good word. Great word. Praise God.
Praise God. We're going to go ahead and turn the mics over to our listening audience tonight. If there is one that this word resonated with your spirit, and hallelujah. I know that it is more than just one. Praise God. Caller. Your last 4 digits are 0400.
Amen.
0400.
Mm-mm-mm.
Go right
Amen.
Ahead, please.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I mean to tell you, brother, he brought that word forth, and it blessed my soul. And just as
Amen.
He was saying, when you go through a storm, you got to remember, this too shall pass. If you have faith in God, it's going to pass. Now, as I was listening, I want to quote Bishop Nate Holcomb. He's no longer with us on this side, but Bishop Nate Holcomb used this word faith. He said, forward action in trusting him. We got to trust God with everything, not some, everything. Yes, trust him.
Amen.
And faith is action, just like he would say, a bridge. You just don't look at a bridge. You're going to cross over that bridge. That's action. So I was truly blessed. Now, I can run my mouth a lot, so I'm going to sit back. I mean, I enjoy it. Thank you very much. That's Sister Pat back here.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Pat. Thank you, Mother Pat Gallo.
Amen.
Praise God for those powerful comments. Is there another tonight? Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We'd like to hear from you. Is God bringing you through the storm? The man of God shared tonight a strategy, a plan, a platform for anybody that's dealing with a storm in their life of how to go about successfully maneuvering through that storm. Well, how do you successfully maneuver? Well, first and foremost, you've got to put Christ first. You've got to put God first, hallelujah, in order to be able to successfully maneuver, to be able to successfully come out on the other side of the storm. Go ahead, please, and press one on your dial pad if there is another. Hallelujah. Caller, your last four digits are 6769. 6769. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go right ahead. You are dispatched into the studio.
Praise God for the word of God tonight, and praise God for using Pastor Baker to just remind
Amen.
Us about that storms in life are going to come. They're going to be
uh-huh.
present because we have an enemy out there. But praise God for the word. He reminded us that let's not focus on the storms, but let's focus
yes.
on the one who can calm the storms. Let's not take fear in our heart, because God don't give us the spirit of fear. He gives us the spirit
Amen.
Of love and of joy and a sound mind. And I thank God for
Amen.
The word of God tonight, because it seems like sometimes when God blesses you, Satan try to come and curse you. But we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And I thank God for my husband. He's going through his storms right now with his health. But we are focusing on Jesus, because we know that he is the master healer. We know that he can calm the storm. We know the storm can be calmed by him, because he is the calmer. He is the way maker. He is the peace provider. And I know that he will heal my husband. And so I just claim that tonight. And I thank God for the word that has encouraged my heart, that encouraged us to keep going, keep focused, and keep just keeping our eyes on Jesus. Don't, even though the waves may come, don't focus on the waves and start sinking, but focus on Jesus, that'll keep you high and lifted up. So tonight I just want to thank God for the word of God, and I thank God for the people of God, and I thank God for this broadcast.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Lisa Strayhorn.
Praise
God. Elder Strayhorn will be with us, hallelujah,
by
the grace of God, on next Monday
Amen.
Night, sharing in the word of God. And thank you for sharing that those comments, praise the Lord,
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just have to be able to remember, as the man of God said tonight, that the storm, every storm has an expiration date.
Amen.
Every storm has an end. That God, he has the final, oh my goodness, when you think about and be able, as the song says, number one, to know who you are in the Lord, and again, know whose you are, and that as we're going through the storm, and the man of God, he shared that we're going through the storm because as the storm is working for us as a victor,
uh-huh.
not a victim, but we are a victor
Amen.
Even in the midst of the storm, because greater is he that's on the inside of us
mm-hmm.
than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And though weeping may endure for a night, hallelujah, there is an end that's coming to this storm.
Amen.
There is joy. Praise the Lord, that's coming in the morning. Is there another tonight? We have a few more minutes left in the broadcast. If there's another, go ahead and press one on your dial pad, and we will hear your comments tonight. Praise the Lord. Before we close out, we've got about 8 more minutes in the broadcast, and we will not leave without given the opportunity for salvation. Do you know this God that we are talking about? Do you know this Jesus that we are talking about? Hallelujah. Do you know the only way that you will know who you are is to go back to your manufacturer, the one that created you, and his name is Almighty God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you do that by receiving him, accepting him, confessing. According to Romans 10:9-10, the word of God tells us that if we but confess with our mouth and believe in our heart upon the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. And your salvation, saints, just pray that simple prayer of saying, Lord, come into my life. I receive you. I accept you. I believe that you are the Son of God and know that God has raised you from the dead. If you prayed that simple prayer, you have received salvation this night. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And as a recipient of the salvation in Jesus Christ, then the benefits then become yours, where you can maneuver, you can walk through the storm, walk through the fire unburned, walk through the flood uncovered, hallelujah, and without it overflowing you. And you are a victor even amid the storm, praise God. We thank God for this word that has gone forth tonight. We're going to allow, I don't see that there's another, we're going to allow, praise God, Pastor James Baker to close us out in prayer.
Yes,
we
yes.
pray that this word has been a blessing to you, that you go forth yes. and that you take it and be able to allow it to help to advance the kingdom of God here in this earth. Share the word of God with others. People need to know in this dying world that we serve a living Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Pastor Baker, if you would you please go ahead and close us out in prayer this evening?
I will. I certainly will. And thank you so much for those that commented. And thank you once again to you and Pastor for having me. And I wanted to just share just two scriptures that I wanted those that are listening, because I believe these will be beneficial to you. One is from the Old Testament. One is from the New Testament. So I would like to give you those scriptures. And then I promise you I'm going to pray. So it's going to be found in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Mm-hmm. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 3 through 6, and it's connected to the storm. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3 through 6, and it's connected to the storm. And it was in a time of Israel's history that they had moved away from God. And for many years, Israel had been without a true God, without the teaching of the priests, and without instruction. But they turned to the Lord God of Israel in their distress, right? Listen to that. Mm-hmm. So it was the distress, it was the storm that actually caused them to turn to God, and God received them. So that at that time, it was no time of peace. But this was something, when you look at verse 6, look what it says. It says, the nation was crushed by nation and by city, for God troubled them with every possible distress. It wasn't the devil. I just want to make sure that you hear this. And that wasn't the devil that caused it. It was God that caused them. And in Hebrews 12, I'm just going to just tell you that, Hebrews 12, 26, that there was a shaking. There was a shaking that took place. And I believe that's what this pandemic has been. It's been a shaking. I believe all of this has been a shaking. And I believe that God has allowed this stuff to happen and has actually been very much possibly considerably involved in allowing this to happen, to bring us, because we've moved so far as a nation and a country and as a people away from him, so that we could come back to him the way we need to.
Yes.
I want to pray for anyone that has not received Jesus as their Lord. I want you to, at this moment, you can receive him. And for those of you that want to return, maybe you've backslidden and you want to return, for those of you that want to recommit, I want to make sure that you are able to know that this is a great time, this is a great season to recommit. And for those of you that want to continue on what you're doing in revitalization work in the kingdom, I want to pray for all four of those issues right there. So, God, I thank you today for this time. Thank you for these people. And thank you for your word that's commiserate to this time. We pray that your word will bring comfort, that it will cause, that is cause comfort, is cause conviction, is called correction, and is called your word and your people to be uplifted in such a time as this. Oh God, allow their time of this time of learning and instruction, God, to prove profitable to our lives, and that you, oh God, will have the glory at the end. Oh God, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein, for it was founded upon the sea, established upon the flood. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that have clean hands and a pure heart. This is the generation that seek your face, oh God. How can we say thanks for the things that you have done for us? Things so undeserving, yet you've proved your love for us. The voices of a million angels could not express our gratitude, all that we are and all that we hope to be. God, we owe it all to you. Yes. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. With your blood, you've saved us. With your power, you've raised us. To God be the glory for the things that we have done. Oh God, let us live a life. Let it be pleasing to you that if we find any gain, that it would go to Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. God night.
God bless you. Praise God and good night. And to God be all the glory. Have a wonderful week. God bless.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We got a message to encourage you and let you know that no matter what you're going through, there's still glory coming. And it's coming after this. Clap your hands. Come on.